Before we go, we want to share an audio postcard from a TED speaker who has brought me a lot of joy, the writer Pico Iyer. Pico's given multiple TED Talks. My favorite is about stillness. And back in the spring, when we first ran this episode, we asked Pico how the pandemic was changing him and all of us. Here's what he sent us.
Hello, my name is Pico Iyer, and I'm a writer looking out on my quiet residential street here in Nara, Japan. There's nothing at all special about the anonymous suburb in which my wife and I have lived for 28 years, but I really feel lucky to be here. And although restrictions have been tightening the last few days to a surprising extent, this part of Japan looks and feels as it always does. There are avenues of cherry blossoms lining the park across the street, and all my neighbors are gathered on the lawns for picnics and ball games in the brilliant blue spring morning. The 1,200 wild deer who pretty much rule this city, roaming freely around downtown, are looking sleek and well-fed as they shed their winter fur. And I think we all know this can change at any moment, but Japan has been living with uncertainty, with fire and earthquake and tsunami for 1,400 years. And the reason my friends are flocking out to observe the cherry blossoms is precisely because those blossoms remind us that nothing lasts for very long. Now, as it happens, my 88-year-old mother was taken into the hospital back in California a couple of weeks ago for reasons unrelated to the virus. And so, of course, I got a seat on the next flight over, I packed my bags, I was all set to take the bus to the airport when I heard that visitors are not allowed in California hospitals in any case. So if I'd flown over there, I'd just have been stuck in an empty house, really no closer to my mother there than I am here. And so, of course, like all the world, I'm living in a state of uncertainty, with mortality perhaps quite close. My mother, my wife, and I all suffer from asthma. All of us are over 60, so we're all at risk. But I feel in some ways this moment dramatizes what's always the case. I can never tell you what's going to happen tomorrow, or even tonight. A death could be at the door right now. And that's exactly the reason why I try really hard to cherish the beauty of this radiant spring day and not take anything for granted. I've always felt that what happens to us is much less important than what we make of what happens to us. I once lost my home and every last thing I owned in the world in a forest fire. And 450 other houses were similarly destroyed. And I think everybody, of course, was scarred. But maybe a year later, there were some of our neighbors who clearly were unsettled for life by this event. There were others who, no doubt unsettled, nonetheless thought, well, maybe this is a chance to remake our lives in a slightly different direction, with fewer things, in a place of our choosing, less imprisoned in the illusion of control. Everything changes all the time, including grief and affliction. And the fact that nothing lasts is the reason that everything matters. I've been lucky enough to spend 45 years now traveling and talking with the Dalai Lama. And when I've seen him recently, the phrase he keeps coming back to is emotional disarmament. And of course, the Dalai Lama, more than anyone, always stresses we need to keep our hearts open. We need to feel for others and always to practice compassion and sympathy. But we equally need to diffuse those destructive emotions, panic, confusion, rage, that don't bring us closer to the truth but keep us away from it. And I always find that if I fill my head with the news or with social media, it cuts me up instead of opening me up. And I don't think it's fruitful for me or the people around me to be whipped into a state of anger or agitation. I think one of the graces of suffering is that it cuts through all ideology and essentially reminds us that we're all in this together. I heard from an old friend of mine who says that the best cure for anxiety is thinking of others. And I think maybe the best thing that could come out of this crisis is the reminder that all of us are essentially going through the same thing, young and old, Eastern and Western, Republican and Democrat. And in this really divided world, in the curious way, maybe this crisis has reminded us of how much we share. So now I'll be returning to the bright blue spring day around me, in the hope, of course, that everyone everywhere will get to enjoy such days very soon. My neighbours are worried, of course, because the number of virus cases has been spiking in our cities, and even the single most sacred Shinto shrine in Kyoto was closed this week, as I think it's never been closed, even during warfare. But even so, the TV announcers are drawing our attention to the super moon. And just yesterday, my wife and I took a walk in our neighborhood and we suddenly came upon this thick bamboo forest with lines of cherry blossoms in front of it and nightingales teaching their young to sing 5 minutes away from this apartment. But had it not been for this enforced moment of quiet, we never would have seen it. We hadn't seen it in 28 years.
That's writer Pico Iyer. His latest book is Autumn Light, and you can hear his talks at TED.com. Thanks so much for listening to our show, Pure Joy, this week. If you want to find out more about who was on it, go to TED.npr.org. And to see hundreds more TED Talks, check out TED.com or the TED app. Our production staff at NPR includes Jeff Rogers, Sanaz Meshkinpour, Rachel Faulkner, Deba Motasham, James Delahousie, J.C. Howard, Katie Monteleone, Maria Paz Gutierrez, Christina Kala, Kiara Brown, and Hannah Bolaños, with help from Daniel Shukin. Our intern is Matthew Cloutier. Our theme music was written by Ramtin Arablouei. Our partners at TED are Chris Anderson, Colin Helms, Anna Phelan, and Michelle Quint. I'm Anoush Zamarodi, and you've been listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR.